Good evening. Welcome to this episode of Under the Helmet. Well, with week zero firmly behind us, we turn our attention to week one. And before we delve into week one, we have to talk about week zero. First game was the Selma Vikings and Atlanta Tigers. With me, Dynasty wide receiver, Jack State alum. You know him, you love my guy, Corey Tucker. Tuck, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Taylor?
Man, I'm all right. Did you catch any of the highlights or clips from the Commissioner's Classic?
I looked and saw a few. It wasn't many, and it was like, it wasn't a good film, but I saw a few of them.
Now, before we kind of delve deeper, the Vikings, just every year we hope for this. Like, we think this is going to be the year. Will it ever be the year?
I feel like they're going to come on. I do. I don't know if it sounds like a broken record or a repeat, but I feel like this could be the year. With everything going on, it might be. They'll make the playoffs.
I mean, their defense, their defense played well enough, but then the Tigers did drop 24 in their heads. And it's more of like, I have offensive questions, but if we turn to the night game, you have the Metro Atlanta Horsemen and the Alabama Blackhawks. What was your takeaways from that game?
For me, looking at it, it seemed like it was just like a few plays away from it being the other way, honestly. So, I kind of like both the defenses. I think Blackhawks held them to, what, like 8 or 6 or something?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it wasn't like a blowout. Oh, I say it was like 1 or 2 plays for me where it could have easily went the other way. I just think the Blackhawks just got more.
Do you think the Blackhawks have enough right now to stay with the Dynasty?
Nah. Just gonna be honest, no. Because we can literally just play man all day long. It's not too many teams that can play that and do it confidently, but you just play man and then send your guys. Right now we own the head-to-head from last year with them. So.
Now, one of the things I did notice about the Horsemen, like you said, their defense is for real. Their offensive line is for real. I was impressed. I know I have gone rounds with those guys early on, but damn it, hats off. They have talent on each side of the line of scrimmage. And the one thing I did find odd is one of their best defenders, the nose tackle number 0, Marcus, he didn't play much in the second half or at all. And I don't know why. It just didn't seem like that was a smart thing, because here's my thought. If the Blackhawks are up, chances are they're going to get conservative and want to run the ball. That's playing right into the strength of that defense. And playing the 3-3-5 versus the run, make it make sense, Corey.
I mean, it can be done. I've seen it. Gremlin ran a 3-3-5 wide before. It can be done, but your back has got to be dogged. But I don't like it personally, not against the run. You're just giving up too much gap. That's 3 yards easily every carry. I mean, I think that'll just come with film study and just sometimes we get in our own way. We're going to run a 3-3-5 no matter what. You got to be willing to adjust as a coach. That's all that is.
Now, for me, the Horsemen showed they belong. They belong. I mean, they have size on either side. Their offensive line played well. Their defensive line played well. They're going to be a problem in the Eastern Division. They're going to be a real problem for somebody. They Blackhawks might see him again. And I don't see it. I see it being a little closer next time, because chances are Coach Black and the rest of the defense will make the adjustment. Because for me, that game, it got out of hand, but it didn't seem like it would stay out of hand. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. That's why I said it could have went a few plays here and there, and it could have been easily a closer game or went the other way. I just think they, just like any other football team, their defense is ready, and they often just need a little bit more time to come along and just get their identity, and then you'll probably see them put up more points.
That is the key. Now, when we have our guest, our dynasty linebacker, Jeremy Judge, calling, we're definitely going to sit down and we're going to go over this game. This game is going to be, right off the bat, possibly the game of the year. You have the Mississippi Dynasty traveling to Florida and playing the Gulf Coast Gators. There he is, dynasty linebacker, Jeremy Judge. Good evening, Judge. How are you, my man?
I'm good. How y'all doing today?
Man, it's me, you, and Corey Tucker, man. It all is good. All is good. Now, go ahead.
What up, OG?
What's going on? What's up, man?
Not much. Enjoying this new warmth what that we've got.
Yeah, you know how that go.
Man, listen, yeah. It was like 40 degrees on Sunday, or 45. I thought it was damn near summer. I was so happy.
I couldn't live where you live, Terry. That's for damn sure.
Not at all. We got 6-7 inches, and I was ready to go jump off the building.
Man, right. Listen, there was a couple of days there. We get 3 here, 4 here, 6 here, 3 here, 4 here. It added up where there was almost no more room for it. And today was like the first day I can actually remember wearing sneakers outside. It was the greatest feeling on earth. I'm like, oh, my God, my feet are actually not wearing boots. Now, Judge, to you, you guys, the dynasty, how do you prep after having a season cut short by COVID?
Man, we try to go back over the basic parts of everything. Coach Nim is real repetitious about staying in shape. And, it's just so much that you could do, and then the fact that you know everybody's grown and they have their daily life and job, you just got to really start going over stuff yourself at this point.
Now, Corey, to you, as you look at it, how have you prepared for the season, and not by going by Planet Fitness and taking pictures of yourself in mirrors, right?
Okay, so my prep, I still work out like I'm in college. I actually put together an off-season workout training plan that I go by. I work out about maybe 4 to 5 times a week, and I also get on the field, and I do like mental reps where I play the game. Like, I can lay in bed and play the game over my head, like he's inside shade and he's trying to win the dress of cover 2 or whatever. So I do a lot of mental reps, and I also get on the field, and I actually work my own crap. The weight room is just, you know, it's just a flex move. That's all.
OG, you are still out there playing as hard, in shape. How do you mentally prepare for the season? Like, get your mind right and say, you know what, I'm about to go do this again.
It gets harder every year for me, because every year I lose a step and I have to be smarter than the next. I have to prepare my mind to play a lot of the game, you know, as far as reading, sign, cut off angles, gap responsibilities, and the most important thing is I do my job first, and then wherever else I'm needed, I'm headed there. So every year I have to fight for all the time Whereas these young guys are athletic and they don't take as much as it does with me. I try to get in the gym at least 2-3 days a week, 45 minutes on weights and 15 minutes on cardio, no more, at least an hour of those days, of those 3 days. And then I got like a little sit-up gym at the house that I do or prepare on too. So I stay pretty solid. I might not look it, but I'm in pretty decent shape for my age. I can get out there and get it when I got to.
Now, Corey, to you, the story was in the offseason, or recent, was Dynasty pondered bringing in LeBaron Mallory. Didn't work out. He's not playing this year. Does that help the Dynasty more, or does that hurt the Gators more?
Honestly, I believe it will hurt the Gators more. I mean, Mike has always preached next man up. Hey, you start this game, you may not start next game. It's always iron sharpens iron when it comes to Dynasty play. And I feel like, you know, we had a solid group of guys. So if anything, he would have helped the core. So by him not coming in, I mean, we was already solid. We was gearing up to play as is. So he's just, you know, like sprinkles on top of the ice cream. Just the rich get richer. But, I mean, it didn't work out. I mean, he was a big part of the Gators' defense. He was a little poster child, you know, lock down this, LB that, LB, you know. So, yeah, they're going to miss him. It'll hurt them more.
Now, Judge, to you, the Gators have assembled one of the deeper teams in the league. They signed a bunch of the former Mobile Generals / South Alabama Dolphins. It seems like they have loaded up to try to take the Dynasty down. Do they have enough yet, or do you think that the Dynasty is going to walk into Florida and lay a beating on them?
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. As far as a lot of the teams, Florida is like they're close to us as far as equal. And I mean, And just all out honesty, if they didn't gear up to beat us, if no team gears up to beat us and just think you're gonna come back with the same guys, and when they're building these teams, you still have to build that bond with each player, and that's where we differ from a lot of teams. And I used the Generals when they was beating us like 14-0 in the playoffs. And me and 2-7 looked at each other, and we was like, "Hey, you ready to play now? It's gonna be a long night." And he was like, "Yeah, we never got out of our groove as far as, you know, people got hysterical and hooping and hollering on the sideline." But back to your question, it's never gonna be a cakewalk when a team they know what we played these guys like 4 times. I think they was the Nightmare 1 year, then they've been the Gulf Coast Gators. So this will be the 4th time that we played them. And, I mean, each time it's going to be a closer game. And with them losing, you know, Mallory was a good player to me. I don't care what nobody say. He's a ball hawk. You got to know where he is on defense before you just air the ball up, because he'll make you pay regardless of what anybody says about it. But, I mean, it's not going to be no cakewalk. And, I mean, we're coming with the same attitude every game, every weekend. You're going to have to beat us. You're going to have to beat us all 4 quarters. You can't take one off and win another one, because we're going to win in the 4th quarter. So, I mean, I'm looking for a good game. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk, because they added a few guys that I know that are pretty good that can help the team. So, but they can't get all of them on the field at the same time. That's the only thing about this game.
Now, Corey, same question to you. They added – I'm looking at their roster right now. I don't think in the years I have covered, probably in the years that I've, you know, played as an average guy, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 18 guys that share the same number. That they have more guys on a semi-pro team than I've seen in years. Do they have enough to stand toe-to-toe with the Dynasty on Saturday?
I mean, I think OG hit it on the head, though. I mean, you can look at it on paper. Yeah, they got numbers. But it's that thing that you're missing, like he said, that bond. When you in a dog fight and you look, like he just said, you look over and you be like, you ready? Because you're in one. That's what's going to wheel you over. I mean, on paper, it looked like they got enough, but I just want to see them tested as a group before I can say, yeah, they'll get a good fight, because I don't think they trust each other to know, like, bro, we in a fight. Like, I feel like if somebody say something, try to check them on the sideline, like, you know, it could possibly tap the sideline. They haven't been in a situation to where they have to lean on each other in the heat of the moment when bullets are flying. So on paper it looked good, but like, I just don't think they have that bond that's going to get them over. I don't know, I don't want them to self-destruct, but I just got to see them in the heat.
Now, Corey, you had a pretty strong prediction before we started. You care to elaborate on that one?
Okay, I don't think the Gators are going to make it the full season, honestly. And it's partly because of what you said. They're a mixture of, there's basically, three teams combined in one. Three different philosophies, three different characteristics, and it's going to be hard to gel all that together again when that fire gets to burning. And I think they're going to self-destruct. If they don't get it, if it happens early and they can fix it, they'll make it. But if it happens early and they can't fix it and you start seeing them wild out on the sideline, it's going to get ugly. Because what is the Gators' identity right now? Are they the same Gators from years prior? No. So they need to find their identity, and they need to figure out how to be able to hold each other accountable without it being destructive, without it being a counter. But I don't think they're going to make the whole season. I think they're going to self-destruct.
Now, Judge, do you see where Corey's saying that? Do you agree like that could happen?
I see what he's saying, but I think that you also got to look at, when you go to, like, another organization, you kind of lose your place, you know, because they were already a built team. They were already built, and they were already established, and they were pretty damn good, because I don't think they lost for, what, three games last year, and two of them was to us. So if people come in and know their place, then, I mean, it's just like with Dynasty. People could come on Dynasty team. You got to know your place when you're going from one team to the other. It don't matter how good you are, who you are. If people don't know their place on their team, then they will self-destruct, because people, you know, you're going to clash with egos and stuff. But if you ain't got no egos and they buy into the program like you have to do on Dynasty, then they're going to be all right. They're going to be enough. You know, they're going to be a team that we got to see before we go. And far in the playoffs, and that's just how it is with them. But if you got people that's going to come there thinking they're going to rule and bring your old way of playing to a new environment, then they're not going to work. But I don't really see that happening, because they were a core already. They're just adding pieces. That's what they should be doing now. If they go to adding, you know, people to spots that they already had covering, and people thinking that they're better than the person that's playing in front of them, then you have problems then. But, you know, they're just, you know, I talked to one of the guys this week, And, I mean, they're pretty confident in what they got. So, I mean, if they buying into what they selling, then they're going to be all right. But if they come in saying I'm better than the guy in front of me, then that's when the problems occur.
Now, Corey, we got to talk about our guy Amos. Amos Tatum, cornerback. Amos decided to make his feelings known about Tyrone Jones, the Gators quarterback, and in his opinion, said that he has a lack of arm strength. Tyrone responded. Do you think that thought will stay in Tyrone's head the balance of the week, and do you think that that might force him to want to test the dynasty vertically?
I hope not. I honestly think, by Amos coming at him, I think Amos, like, everybody respects Tyrone. But, I mean, I hope he don't try to make it about him trying to prove Amos wrong, because you're not going to just air it out like that. There's no possible – I don't see us losing in the air. And I don't see anybody just airing it out saying, okay, you said I couldn't throw, so let me prove you wrong. It's a lot of experience on that back end, and I'm not talking about Amos or Lemon. You still got O'Keefe back there. Like, Amos and Lemon get the praise, but you still got O'Keefe lurking on that back end. So I hope he just leave it at that and just do what he normally has done, you know, kind of give you the Lamar effect, you know, manage the ball, you know, don't put it in harm's way, because if he air it out, oh, it's going to get ugly.
Now, just to you, when you look at your linebackers and you, as a leader of the linebacker corps, you guys have a lot of downhill thumping type of linebackers. Has there been one that has stood out in practice that we should look at outside of yourself?
Man, well, you got a new guy. Him and Jay Hicks are going to be two good linebackers because they're going to fill the holes. And that's the key point to any linebacking core in this league. If you're scared to take contact, I'm telling you, Jay Hicks and a guy named JJ, it's a new guy we picked up, they're going to be special players in that hole for us. So, you know, I just really support them guys to the fullest, because they did the work in practice, and that's who they need to watch out for, both of them, especially Jay Hicks, because he is very deceivable of how fast he is. People think that he's slow. Man, they just – I see a lot of people talking noise to him on the page. Man, they just don't have no idea of how good of an athlete this guy is. This guy can return punts as a linebacker. So Jay has always been one of my favorite linebackers, and we picked up a guy, JJ, and hopefully our guy, Tedrick Terrell, he's a dual threat. He's a linebacker and a defensive end. I mean, we really can move Tedrick all over the place. So, I mean, Jay and JJ are going to be two fill-in guys this year.
Now, OG, next question, like, same question to you, like, different question, but like I said, you've played a while. Is this still fun for you?
Oh, man, I love it. Let me tell you something. This game of football, and Corey will tell you this, so like I said, I met Corey when he was about 15 or 16 years old. I've been knowing him a good little while. I love to see good athletes, good brothers doing something with themselves. I don't care if it's on us. I mean, hell, if somebody catch a touchdown on our guys, they'll be the first to tell you. I'm talking shit, because I love to see good athletes, and good athletes, it don't matter what team you're on, I like to see brothers and football players shine and show what they got out here and do it safely and competitively and learn to respect each other on the field and off the field. I mean, athletes are athletes. It don't matter what state you're in with me. I love to see good athletes like Tyrone. I'm going to touch on Tyrone for a second. Tyrone is a good player, man. And I noticed Tyrone when he was with the I think it was the Jets the first time we played him. And he was the only guy that did not give up. And, I mean, man, we was hitting him all night. He would not lay down. And I told Lewis then, I said, man, if that guy ever get with a team that's got the right offense and stuff, he going to be bad. And Lewis, tell you, he agreed with me. And I didn't know Tyrone's name then because I really didn't keep up with people's names then. But he was always a standout guy when he played with the Jets. So Tyrone is like, he is the, you know, Lamar Jackson of the league. He's not, I'm not going to say he's the greatest passer, but he hits the majority of his targets. And when he gets that down pat, and he's probably been working on that, I mean, he's still young. He got some time to grow. So if he gets that part of the game right, he's going to be hell to tell. So, man, I just love to see good athletes. It don't matter where they are. I mean, Justin, all the defensive tackles, man, I'm going to give a guy his props. If he can play ball, I'm going to give it to him, period. That's just how I am. I'm going to give them – if he kicking one of our guys' ass, I'm going to tell him, man, you got your ass whooped all night, man. Shit, I mean, it's obvious because, like you say, the eye in the sky don't lie. So if you can't give a guy his just dues when he can play football, you don't even need to be playing football if you can't say a guy's a good football player. I ain't got no problem with that. Now, what I can't stand is like people just being over-exaggerated. Like, it's one guy in another league that has really just – it's hard for me to say that I don't like somebody. But, man, it's a guy that just keep on saying, Dynasty running, we running, we running. And this shit has just gotten old with me.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. This is a guy who plays on a much smaller league, and – he's a coach, right?
Yeah, he's a coach.
And he talks all this noise when his team could theoretically join the APDFL and just play. But if he ran his team the way he runs his mouth, they might be in better shape.
That's right. And I've just about had it with him. I'm almost to the point where I'm about to tell Mike, man, we need to make this game happen. And I've never been drawn into debates about, you know, wanting to do teams bad because that's not the good sports mentality. But this guy right here, man, he asking for it. He asking for it.
But in essence, though, do you think they really want that? Do you think that's what they really truly need? Because it might be the kind of franchise-ending loss, even if it's
preseason. That's what they need. That's what they need because if you could tell when you talk to me, whenever you talk to me, I never say what a team can't do. I can't say a team can't come to the APDFL and be good. APDFL is a good squad of teams put together. But if you're playing local and just teams within a 200-mile radius, you can't say that you're good. You just can't do that. You got the bounty hunters. You got Cal. I mean, you got the Gators. You just can't say that you can come to the APFL and just win out because it's not going to work like that, period.
Now, Corey, to you, with the Dynasty receiving core, you being one, Ant being another, is there outside of Jeremy Mallory, is there a guy that we haven't discussed that will make the next step this year?
Oh, we got some new guys coming in, and I don't want to give too much away. I don't want to put food on his plate, and then he got to go out there and live up to my words. But yes, we do got a couple guys in this quarter coming in that I'm actually expecting some big things out of, truthfully. So outside of Jerry, I think we got one or two more guys that is going to break on the scene and open eyes up.
I know there's one guy. I know you said you don't want to mention his name, but there's one guy who might be like the tallest receiver in the league. Is that the one guy?
He's one guy I'm anxious to see in the league. Him to actually come. He done got close, man. We actually talk a lot. We bounce off. We bounce things off of each other. I know he hits me up. Coaching points here and there, back and forth. So I am anxious to see him. But that's one of them, and then it's another little smaller guy.
Because that height is legit, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it's definitely it's up there.
Now, good God. Judge, to you, it's funny, like over the holidays, I saw there was a Christmas card from Lewis. I posted it on Facebook. Lewis looks in shape. Explain how destructive and problematic that's going to be for other teams.
Listen, Lewis has lost at least 50, I'm going to say 40 pounds. And you just imagine how he was last year, but he's quicker this year, and he's in shape. Somebody going to have their hands full, and they're going to have to start double-teaming Lewis. And when they do that, then they're going to open up doors for other linemen and other things that we do. Lewis is in hellified shape. I mean, man, when I tell you, and he's strong, and all he did was a lot of weightlifting. We had a thing where, you know, where we work out, you know, try to compete with each other working out. But Lewis, he's lost a lot of weight. He's lost at least 45 pounds. He's gotten quicker. And he's actually in better shape now than he's been since I've been playing with him the last 3-4 years.
That's a frightening thought.
I'm telling
you. Now, if we switch topics, Corey, you're a proud Jackson State alum. They smacked around Edward Waters, and how excited are you to watch your alma mater like take the college world by storm?
I'm excited by it as far as the exposure and the recognition. And what's crazy, Jackson State has become a household name in conversations. It comes up a lot, so I'm excited for that. Now I'm just waiting on the product on the field. I'm ready to get excited for that too. But I'm definitely—I can't express enough. I'm really excited that they're shining the light on Jackson, and not just Jackson State, but the city. Because again, there are some diamonds in the rough that's in Jackson, and they just need a little light. Basketball did it, you know. It's some high school superstars in basketball, but like OG was talking about Hicks. Hicks is one of them guys that's a Jackson product. I feel like if he would have had some shine, a light on him,
he could have
been playing on Sundays. Yes, easily.
Now,
I'm excited for the exposure.
I am too. Now, Judge, to you, when just a general football question, when you look around college, I know that you follow college football. With the draft about 2 months away, is there any player that you watched that caught your eye this season?
Man, I got to look this guy up again. You know, like I told you last year, I always look at a lot of defensive players, especially when it comes to the linebacking core of the game. And it was a guy that plays for – oh, my God, I want to get this right. I was just Googling him the other day. Oh, I wish I had a nose just going to ask me that. But he plays for – I won't say it was Vanderbilt. He's a linebacker for Vanderbilt. Bill, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, Terry. I'm going to have to get back with you on that in just a second. But I try to look at linebackers, and they got a lot of good defensive players going this year. Ole Miss. I think Alcorn got a linebacker that's supposed to be pretty good this year. But, man, it's just it's, with the COVID – I guess they'll still be all right. But, I mean, a lot of people didn't get the recognition that I thought because of the way the seasons went. But I just have to look at it and see who the guy was. Because it was one guy I was just talking about yesterday with somebody about a linebacker that's going to be pretty good. But we got – there's a lot of defensive players coming out this year.
When you judge a linebacker – or when you grade a linebacker judge, what's the first part of his game that you critique?
His first step, his first read, his initial reaction to everything is what I judge a linebacker off. And if they don't go downhill and fill gaps and fight linemen, they can't make it in the NFL. Go ahead.
No, sorry. Go ahead, man.
That is the key to playing linebacker. If you can't think fast, react, that first step, come downhill, or come downhill on play action, then bounce back out and get where you're supposed to be. And I always watch how they handle tackles, centers, and guards coming off the block, especially in the NFL. Especially, I was really impressed this year about the Tampa Bay linebackers. Man, it was one guy, number 40. He was covering Kelce all night.
Devin White, yeah.
A linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
They had corners and safeties that couldn't cover Kelce all year. A linebacker covered him all night. Putting them hands on him, roughing him up, and I tell every TV this, if y'all don't listen to nothing else. You see what happened when you put them hands on them receivers and stop all that free release shit? You just throw their whole game off. I tell you that all the time, don't I, Corey? I've been telling you that for years. If you let a man come off the line, it's easy to catch a ball that don't nobody contest you. But when you start having to look and see what some people are, shit, your whole night throwed off.
Corey, let me ask you this. Actually, it's a two-part question. Have you ever been thrown a pass so bad that you reached for it and you knew you were about to get laid out? How badly did you want to fight the quarterback?
I don't think I've been in that position. I don't think I've had one of those badly thrown balls where I knew I was going to get smacked and actually got smacked. I think that's part because of, I don't know, I just awareness. Take that back. It was a screenplay at Jackson State, and the linebacker read it perfectly, and I couldn't be mad, though. Like, So I got smacked on the ton of screen. You run your steps up and you come down the line, lineman missed the linebacker, whatever happened, and as soon as I caught the ball, I had a bruised tongue. Never forget it. I couldn't even breathe. I went home. I couldn't stand up straight. My mom was like, "What's wrong with you?" I like practice. And it was like my freshman year. And it was like, so yeah, I was mad. Why you throw the ball? You saw him coming. That's the play. You can't get mad. But I mean, you could have used better judgment. I mean, I can't really jump down my quarterback throw like that. In public, why? Because I don't want to get a FU ball for real on the post or a D. And the roof closed. You might as well.
Fair. Judge, to you, you guys just dealt with, like we had mentioned, snow earlier. How did y'all deal with all that snow out in Pittsburgh?
Man, we was, I'm going to tell you, too, it's pretty bad. Really. I got a four-wheel drive truck. If you ain't have a country boy shit, you was the last stuff. I got a four-wheel drive truck, and I went, picked people up, took them to the grocery stores. You got to be country and know how to drive to handle that stuff. I mean, it was rough. I was blessed because my lights or water didn't go off, and that was a good thing in the area that I stay in. We was, like, really, really blessed. My brother's stuff went out. I had to come pick him up and take him to the grocery store, and he stayed in his house one night, and then, hell, he said the next night, he said he ain't sleeping in no cold house, so he come by the house. I had a house full of people, so it really didn't affect me too much because I really don't do a lot anyway, and I keep a deep freezer full of food, and I don't mind cooking on the grill or whatever, but I was blessed, but I got out and helped a lot of people cut trees down, took people to the store that couldn't go. Elderly people, mostly church people that we went to school, church with, that couldn't get out and drive, we tried to get them and take care of them as much as possible because it got pretty bad. Hell, some people really just got like this past weekend from the storm last week.
Man. Corey, now you guys, you're out in Dallas. How did Dallas deal with it?
Oh my God. It was bad. I ain't gonna lie. It was bad. Where we was at, it was bad. We first got it on Sunday. Our power went out maybe like at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And so it was cold that day. And we didn't lose water, thankfully. But we lost power. And we had it, and we was out of power till like Thursday, for real. And on some of the coldest nights, it was like -7. And like Jeremy said, like OG was talking about, the country kicks in. Automatically, the country just kicks in. So, I knew what we had to do. We got a little fireplace where we stayed, so we was feeding the fire, just trying to keep it heat. My main concern was just making sure they was warm, make sure my wife and my wife's sister was here, so making sure they was warm. And the little girl, all she wanted to do was play around, and we trying to make sure she stay warm. She don't like her shoes and socks on, so she was kicking them off. It had got cold to the point we had to leave. So we end up leaving, and just so happened that one of the coworkers let us stay with them, because we pretty much just out here solo, just us. So we stayed over there for a night. The power came back on. There was like a few winds. The power came back on. So it was like, all right, we'll go back to the house. We get to the house. The power's on for maybe 2-3 hours, and it goes back off. Now, mind you, they're supposed to be doing rolling power outages. But at this time, like, we're not in where we stay, they're not rolling them. So once they go off, they're off. And again, like I said, that was the coldest night. And it was like we was all piled up in the living room in front of the fireplace just trying to stay warm. I had to run out, buy some batteries and stuff. The roast was completely iced over. You could see cars that was on the side of the road that done spent out trying to get out. Walmart was out of everything, trying to shop and all that. The lights was out, and you and Kroger was trying to grab something. We were just really blessed to just, have peace of mind and awareness. Like, we had already stocked up on food, but we had no power to cook. So you just had to make do with what you have in there. And we was able to just wait it out for a while. But it was bad.
Now, Judge, to you, you are a Warren Central High grad. When they take the field against Vicksburg High, how packed are the stands and crowd?
Man, if you don't buy tickets early that week, you won't go. That's like Alabama LSU game or Mississippi State Ole Miss. That's a rivalry that goes back into the 60s and stuff. So the stadiums, they usually bring, if it's at Vicksburg, there's almost enough seating, but if it's at Warren Center, they usually bring bleachers in because the game is so packed, and it's always sold out. A lot of people end up watching the game outside the fence. So that's always going to be a good game to come see, because it don't matter what the records are. Those two teams are going to play their hardest. And the refs pretty much let a lot of little things go that they usually don't let go. So it's usually a good game.
Now, following up, where would the worst place to get caught at or the most boring place in Warren County? You got Eagle Bend or Flowers. If you had to pick one to not be caught in, which one would it be?
Did you say Eagle Bend or Eagle Lake?
Eagle Bend.
It got to be Eagle Bend because I ain't never heard of it.
Or Flowers or Redwood.
Redwood, most definitely.
That bad?
That's like hitting. But I go up there all the time because I fit in. You know, they recognize a country boy that ain't going. When you see a man walk around with a mohawk that's always frowned up wearing about 265, you know, he can pretty much go around this town any way he wants to. Now, they might say something when I leave, but the damn sure ain't going to say it while I'm there.
Now, Corey, since you've been in Dallas, what has been your favorite place to go eat? Don't say Applebee's. Don't say Chili's. An actual Texas place.
An actual Texas place? That's hard. They actually closed it down, though. It was this little high-end restaurant that was sitting in the little globe that's in downtown. It spins while you're up there and while you're eating and stuff. So that was one. And then there was this other place. It's called Hard Eight. I don't know if it's Texas exclusive, but it's Hard Eight. It's barbecue by the pound. You go in there and you pick your barbecue. They put it on butcher paper. You talking about some good food? Like, and then if you're not careful, you're going to spend $120 on your own plate. Like,
damn.
Because it's by the pound. So you seeing right there, give me a few cuts of brisket, you know. Then you turn around, you get some links, you get a turkey leg or something. You get a couple bones of ribs. Most of the time I stay away from the turkey leg because I'm like, if I want turkey, I'm just going to go to Houston. But, yeah, I think I messed around and spent like $80 on accident. I was so mad, but it was worth it. Like, oh my God. That was some prime brisket. I'm not gonna lie. So Hard Eight is probably right up there at the top.
Now, Judge, now we've had the chitlin conversation for years now. If what is your other go to side dish that you like to put on the plate?
Dressing.
Okay.
All right.
No chitlins, though.
No chitlins.
No. Oh, man.
No. Mm-mm. Now, before we get out of here, I want to, man, listen. No, I remember being a kid in my grandma's kitchen. I was like, what is that smell? She said, just try it. I sat down. I had a forkful. And I just looked at her. She's like, see, you tried a new food. I wanted to spit it out and walk out the house. But I was like 8 years old. I'm like, I can't leave this house because I have no idea to get home. Mm-mm. I had to finish that plate. And I will tell you this. I got the burps afterward. And those burps, it was so bad.
It takes a special person to clean them, man. You clean them right. You won't even know it, man.
I remember going home the next day, and my father, you know, I'm sitting in the kitchen, me, my father, my mother, and one of my brothers, and he's like, well, what'd you have for dinner last night? I explained. He's like, oh, you tried those? And I gave him a look. He's like, you ate those, huh? I'm like, oh. He's like, I burped. He's like, you got the burps? I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, he asked me how many sodas did I drink to get the taste out of my mouth. I'm like, about four. Between having to pee every 3 minutes and had to burp up chitlins, it was the worst experience of my 8-year-old life. Mm-mm.
Ooh.
Mm-mm.
You better not ever go get nobody that don't know how to clean them. You showing up going to be in trouble.
Oh, my God. Fellas, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. Good luck on Saturday. We definitely be watching the Mississippi Dynasty and the Gulf Coast Gators.
All right, Terry. Good talking to you, bro.
Thanks, Judge.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Corey. This has been another episode of Under the Helmet. Be good to yourselves and be good to each other.